Hi, my name is Claudia. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from guilt and shame. Hi. I married at 23 and soon suffered my first miscarriage. I'd have another, followed by 5 inseminations and 2 canceled adoptions. To cope with the pain of infertility, I worked. I worked so much that my careers became my obsessions. I worked Monday through Friday as a commercial contract writer at a gas company and Saturday and Sunday at a television station. I became addicted to the praise I got from my supervisors, to the bonuses, to the promotions, and to the calls from headhunters trying to woo me away to overseas gas fields. I was truly needed, but so much time away from my husband was unhealthy. We became roommates instead of spouses. We sought counseling and then found out we were pregnant. Finally, I was sure God was providing our son to help heal our marriage, but things only got harder. Instead of leaning into him, I isolated from God, my husband, and my community. Eventually, I filed for divorce, and I dove into work again. I relocated with my son, bought a new car, got an expensive home, and bought way too many clothes, shoes, and purses. I also met a man who was driven, made as much money as I did, loved to travel, and seemed to love me. After only 3 months of dating, we got engaged. But just before our wedding day, I was fired from my job. I'd become so used to getting my way that I'd forgotten how to work with a team. My supervisor found me unbearable and let me go. What hurt the most was that I knew I deserved it. Finally, forced to stay at home, I realized that my kiddo was sick again. He had had bronchitis 4 times in 1 year, or so I thought. After consulting with a specialist, I found out that he'd actually been sick for over a year. I'd missed the symptoms and only caught on when they flared up. I'd been so consumed with my pain, my wins, and my wants that I'd failed to truly care for my child. He needed surgery immediately. Thankfully, God healed him. Then came my wedding day, and 6 weeks later, the day he left us. He said he knew it was a mistake the day we exchanged vows, but thought it'd just be better to quietly file for divorce later. Upon leaving, he gave me a list of the 27 things I'd done wrong since the day we met. I know I just threw a lot at you, so let me recap. I've been divorced twice, lost a child twice, was a sucky mom at least 4 times, and at least once an unbearable employee. I felt like I'd written my inventory before I even knew what regeneration was. Ashamed and guilt-ridden, I lay in bed, crying silently so my son wouldn't hear me. I prayed for strength to get through the next few years. I kept telling myself that if I just made it until Ethan was 18, then he wouldn't need his mom anymore. I could close my eyes and will my heart to stop beating. But God pursued me. Of all people, my first ex-husband invited me to the porch, Watermark Single Adult Ministry. He wouldn't stop inviting me, so I finally attended just to shut him up. I showed up as the music started, sat in the back, and left as the music was still playing so that I wouldn't have to speak with anyone. I was too ashamed to make eye contact, but I kept coming back because I heard authentic confessions from this stage. And every sinner had a hope, and every one of them had been redeemed. Eventually, I thought, why not me? God, can this be for me too? Over and over, I heard about regeneration. I heard that broken people go to regen and that the healthiest people have been through the process. I didn't deserve another chance, but I felt God was offering it, so I shouldn't waste it. I quickly got tired of crying in public. I hated having to share my struggles in groundwork and the thought of writing down all my mistakes in inventory. Then God revealed to me why I needed to hash it all out in step 3, trust. Here, I learned that Israel offered sacrifices to remind itself of its need for God. God created us to be in a relationship with him. When we disobeyed him, we betrayed his trust. We essentially divorced him. He made us leave the Garden of Eden, but we'd already spiritually checked out of our relationship with him. Even though we were gone, he still loved us and longed for us, so he created a way back to him, a way to restore our relationship. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." God told Israel to create a sacrificial system. Sacrifices were a picture of the great cost of sin or death, and God's great mercy. The sacrifices didn't save people, but they were a reminder to turn from sin and have faith that God would provide a substitute to atone for the cost of their sin. But all sacrifices were imperfect and needed to be repeated until Jesus came and shed his perfect blood as the final sacrifice for all time and made a perfect final reconciliation possible. Jesus sweetly, mercifully chose to share his perfection with me. It finally all made sense. I finally understood that even if I'm perfect from this moment forward, I still won't be worthy of heaven. My past is full of sin, so in whole I'm still imperfect. So it's not by works, it is by grace through faith that I am saved. And not just saved on the day I leave this earth. I'm saved now from the burden of having to earn my own way into heaven. Christ gave it all, knowing that my inventory 2,000 years later would be ugly. He knew I'd fail, but he thought I was worth the sacrifice. Christ is the one who will never emotionally check out. He won't physically remove himself from my life. He won't yell at me. He won't tell me I'm worthless. He sees me and calls me beloved. He calls me his. And my mess is his too. I don't have to hide who I was. I can share it with everyone because it has a purpose. Luke 4, 18 and 19 say, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Sorry, I can't see. Just 2 months ago, I was given the privilege to go to Albania. Young professional leaders in a once communist atheist nation listened as I shared my story and then praised our God for his goodness. And these last 9 months have been spent with 15 faithful women walking through Regen curriculum. I've had the honor of crying and praying for and walking alongside these women as we grow closer to our Savior. And in each case, God has shown me that not one tear was wasted. He's used each one to draw me closer to him. He so loved me that he allowed me to search for fulfillment on my own. And when I came up short, he gently cleaned me up and revealed himself to me. My purpose isn't just to survive, it's to declare his glory to all. My name is Claudia, I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from guilt and shame, and I give God all the glory for the things he's done in my life.